Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you and come before you, Lord, asking the Holy Spirit, Lord, to quicken our minds and our hearts, that we may be able to hear you, that we may be able to understand, Lord, what you are directing us, what you are teaching us, what you are doing in our lives, Lord. We just praise and thank you. Thank you, Lord. It is not by might or not by power, it's by your Spirit, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Is our heart directed toward you and open to you that makes all the difference for us to be able to hear, to be able to understand, to be able to see your hand at work in our life. We just praise and thank you and open our heart to you, Lord, as we go into the word today, Lord, to hear you and to receive, Lord, your direction in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, we continue on God's training of his children. This is really what he wants to do. He wants us to be properly trained, connected with him. Because the training is all about being actually in connection with him. To be able to hear him properly. To be able to know the things that he wants us to do and not to get involved in lots of activities and things that are flesh and don't get anywhere. Praise the Lord. He give us a general principle that applies to everybody. Okay? And it's in Proverbs 22, verse 6. It has to do not just the way God is doing, but it's talking about, you know, us here and what we should do. It says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. Okay? Here he's not talking specifically about, you know, growing in the Lord. He's talking about growing in general. Okay? And giving us direction, okay, for us to apply in our own life with the children we deal with. It's very important that the same way that God expects us to work with our children, we can expect him to work with us even better. Because he's our father. And because he cares for us. And we should be caring for our children. And, you know, follow his direction to be able to have the impact that he would have. So in here he's saying, you know, train up a child. You know, the word there in Hebrew, I went to the dictionary of Hebrew, of theological Old Testament words. And the word train up is konak. And actually, and the word root means narrow. And the implication and the way it's applied, okay, means training. I mean, just get them to go in the right direction. You know, the road is narrow, not wide. So he's just trying to put in, you know, not only, but dedicate. That's another thing. You just orient the people to be focused on the right thing, okay? Discipline, also that is connected. Restrict, fasten it. To fasten somebody to the truth so that they are connected with the truth and are not going to be deceived, okay? Well, all these things are involved in that word in Hebrew, okay? So here is essentially saying, you know, that we had to start with our own children. And I've been a parent, I had two grown-up children now. But, you know, the important thing is that we start when they're young. We start right away, and that's what he actually does. I mean, as soon as we become born again and we become connected with him, he puts us in special training. He started working in us in a way that wasn't working before. He tried to reach out to everybody. But his children are special for God. And so he just works on them more than anybody else. Okay? Because, number one, they should be open. They should be caring. They should be connecting with the Father because of what happened, that they have been, born again. And so they start seeing and perceiving some things that before they weren't. So, the moment when we are born again, our mind should completely open up to new things that before we were closed. That before we couldn't understand, and we suddenly understand them better. And that from that moment on, God is in our case. He's really following us closely to make sure that we grow in the direction that he wants, so that later on we are not going to get off a tangent. Unfortunately, sometimes that happened too. Okay, but his desire is for us not to get lost. His desire is for us to keep growing in him so that our relationship with him grows all the time. Because what happens, the flesh inside us sometimes pulls in the other direction. Because those things are appealing to our flesh, but the flesh is enmity against God. So he's going to pull us in the other direction. We have to understand that. And we have to understand the battle that is going on around us. Forget about the battle in the world. The one that's close home, that's very important. That one makes the difference. That's what God cares specifically about you. Okay? And he is there, showing that we have to do the same thing to be effective with our children, physical children. He's going to do much better with us as being his spiritual children. Okay, so you can understand and expect that, and expect the way he's going to do it, because he is very clearly, it's the question of narrowing down your interest, narrowing down your attention, your focus, tying you up with some ideas that should help you to guide you and to produce the right walk in the right direction. Okay, so praise the Lord. Okay, the thing is, why children do the wrong thing? Well, one of the ways, I'm getting off here, but, wrong friends. They're exposed to wrong ideas. And they, those ideas are things that kids like. And so they follow up, and they are not necessarily good. So then they find themselves in a place where, so we had to be careful. We had to be following them up. We had to realize what's going on and protect them. We cannot protect them all the time. When they're grown up, they're responsible for themselves. But when we are young, when we are children, the parents' responsibility is to make sure that they are not exposed to things, and when they are exposed to things that are wrong, to be able to help them to see the way they should go. Okay, communicating with them in a way that they can understand it. Because sometimes kids want to have fun. It doesn't matter what it is. Well, grown-ups too. Okay? And so that's often the way they get in trouble. Okay? But that's what we have to re-understand. Okay? It's much harder to teach a child that has not been having any correction, any direction, maybe any punishment when they are young. Because they have not been, this is what he's saying here in this verse, and they become entitled, that they think that they, everything is done to them because the parents have been too soft. What happens? It's very difficult to straighten up when they're grown-ups. So they have that entitled attitude that get them in trouble all the time. We have to understand that, and it's the same thing in our spiritual walk. If we, when we are just new believers are not taught the proper doctrine. That we are told story, you know, that are not true. Oh, yes, you know, accept the Lord. Everything is going to be fine after that. You're going to have all these great things. Instead of really telling, you know, now you have to listen. Now you have to obey him. Now you have to do the right thing. Wrong expectation produces wrong result because you're not going to be open when he's trying to tell you the things that actually you have to do. Are you following me? See, the fact that we have the experience with our children should help us even to understand in our relationship with our Father. And, you know, he actually shows, we're going to see some scripture that actually do the parallel there. Okay? They should help us even to appreciate more what God is doing. Okay? So, we have to learn to teach the children, our children, to be obedient, because if they don't learn that, they are not going to be obedient with God either when they're going to get saved. And you are not doing them a favor by being too soft. I'm not saying that you have to be in their case all the time. You understand that? That doesn't do any good. It's not all the time that you are there. But if you don't do it when it's necessary, they are going to be getting the wrong idea of what is right and what is wrong. Okay? That's the basic things, you know. So we had to be, you know, listening to God in that, and we had to understand that God is going to work exactly the same way. And he is a father much wiser than we can be. Because sometimes, you know, we may make the wrong decision, we may have the wrong idea, we may have the wrong information. God knows everything. And because he knows everything, he cannot make mistakes. That should be encouraging for us. That should be encouraging to just know that, the fact that if he knows everything and he's there trying to help us, you know, we can trust him. And if we can trust him, then we can go places because we are going to be able to listen and we're going to be able to receive from him. Praise the Lord. See, just... you know, praising the Lord, you know, truly is not just a show off. Praising the Lord is because we realize and we receive and we know the things that he has done for us so that we are actually grateful for all the things that he did. Praise God. Hallelujah. We have to trust him. Trusting him, okay, is what makes the difference. And, you know, the same thing with children, with trusting their parents. Okay, that when they are going to be obedient is when they are actually trusting us, even when we tell them things that they don't like to do, because they know that we do it for their good. And if God tells us to do something, it's for our good only. Okay, so we have to understand, really, the faith is not believing for something that is going to happen that is good. Faith is going to, you know, is believing God and trusting him. This is the definition of faith that, you know, is not the one used these days. But that is really the meaning, is Hebrews 11:6 that talks about, and without faith it's impossible to please him. Why? Because he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that's a starting point, you know, just, you know, it's not someplace, somewhere, who was. He is, and he's dealing with us, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we believe that if we reward him diligently, he's going to, you know, if we seek him diligently, he's going to reward us. And that's the basis for our relationship. So, you know, we actually have to even experience that. We have to start experiencing that God cares about us, about our needs, about our situations, about, you know, where we are. And he's going to guide us, not necessarily according to the way we want, because we don't know everything. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. We don't know what's going to happen. But we can know that God knows that. And he's going to help us to go in the direction in which we are going to get the best results. Praise the Lord. That changes everything. It's not just a question of, you know, wanting something and getting it. It's a question of actually trusting that he is going to bring to pass the things that we need because he loves us. God loves us and he is in control no matter what anybody says. He is the one that determines the way things are and the way things are going to end. He is not the end from the beginning. And understanding that changes everything. See, understanding about the way God is enables us to connect with him in a way that is effective. An effective faith is simply trusting in God and the fact that he wants our good and he's in control and he's going to actually only allow things that he wants because the devil is not in control. He is not the God of this world. See, little g, not big G. Okay? He's the God of this world because the world obeys him. But not the God of the world. The world is under his push and they connect with him. But that not means that he is the same as God. He doesn't have the same power. He doesn't have the same ability. He doesn't have anything. He's a loser. He lost the battle. Jesus overcame him. What we need is not to overcome him. If we try to overcome him, we are wasting our time. Because he's been defeated already. We have to be close to God, and he does the work. And we are going to see what I'm saying actually practically is shown to us in the scriptures. It's not our battle. The battle is Jesus' battle, and he won the battle. And when we understand that, we don't waste our energy trying to fight things we shouldn't be fighting at all. That's not what many people say, and that's not true. The fact is, you know, if we diligently seek him, we are going to be rewarded. That is an expectation that we should have. But we have to start believing that that's the case. This is trusting him. Otherwise, it's not trusting him. It's trusting everything, trusting ourselves, trusting how hard we pray, trusting how much, you know, we are going to quote the scripture, how much we study we made. We are not saved by works. But faith. Believing what the word says. And it's not a mental exercise. It's a spiritual exercise. And where is it? Where our heart makes a difference. Okay, let me continue. You see, this is what Jesus said to us. He is the one guiding us. He is the one, God is the Father, is guiding us. Okay, and if we believe that he's guiding us, then our heart is going to be open to receive direction. Otherwise, we are not going to be open because we try to get ideas ourselves. We should trust him that he's going to guide us. And he's not necessarily going to do because we hear voices. He's in control of everything. Okay. And this is, Jesus said, you know, that my sheep hear my voice. The implication there that we are already sheep. That we are listening, that we are leaning and know them, and we will follow me. So you see the idea, I know them, and I will follow him. See, we look for him, we connect with him, we believe him, and we trust him, and we trust that he's in control, and he's going to direct us in the right way, and he's going to guide us all the way. in our walk is going to be with him. It's not our efforts. It's not by might or not by power. It's by his spirit. Okay? So don't try to be in control. See, believer or not believer, try to gain control of their life. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But God knows. And God is in control because he's sovereign. And so you can trust him to guide you into the path of righteousness. That's what it says. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. What happened? Acknowledge him in all way, and he will guide you in all his way, the way that you have to go. And this is not the only place. It's everywhere. You know, he guide you in the right of passionlessness, right, or righteousness for what? For his name's sake. Because what does it mean, his name's sake? Is because he, what he is like, is to guide you into all truth. He's the one to be your father. He's the one to be ministering to your life. He's the one to give you victory. Praise the Lord. I mean, that we should really praise the Lord. Amen? Because if we believe that, we are going to praise the Lord. Otherwise, we are going to make an effort to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, well, if you praise the Lord, you see, actually, even that should help us. Realizing the way we, our attitude is. It's not a put up thing. When you are really connecting with the Lord and you are experiencing what the Lord, and we are going to see even that, you know, later on, not today. But, you know, when you're really experiencing the right thing with him and you're connected with him, that's the attitude you're going to have. I mean, you cannot do anything else but go around and say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And it sounds like a broken record, but that's the way it is because you believe it. And it's not that you do it because you are religious. Or you have been trained to do that and you think that, you know, to be accepted by, you do that more silently than aloud. Because you don't care about being heard by anybody, but you want, you know, you talk with him and you are thankful to him all the time when nobody sees you. Don't need to do that in church. Or you're going to do that in church too, I'm not saying. But that's not because everybody else is doing it. It's because that's the way you feel. See, our feelings sometimes reveal our place. Okay. Praise the Lord. Okay. Well, you know, understanding this and understanding our relationship with the Father, okay, the best way to really understand that is to see the way Jesus related to the Father. Because he don't need to be a great revelation about the fact that he probably had the best relationship with the Father than anybody ever had. Wouldn't you say? Would you agree with that? I mean, he was the Son. Capital, not small letters, you know. He was the Son. And, you know, what he said is, you know, looking at him, we are going to spend a bit of time looking at him to see that relationship, to see the way that relationship functions, to see, to maybe imitate that relationship, to understand the way he related so that we understand the way we could relate if we are not, and move ourselves toward that. Are you following what I'm saying? So, you know, you can start, for example, with John chapter 5, verse 19. Says, you know, Jesus answered that, you know, assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing in himself. That doesn't sound very positive, does it? Well, Jesus wasn't positive. It's not a question of being positive or negative. It's a question of being in the right place. Okay, it says, but what I see the Father do, you know, but, no, sorry, I'm going to read again. The Son does nothing in himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. So, you know, he was connected with the Father. He knew the direction of the Father. How you do that? Well, you know what the Word says. You connect with the Word, and you just, in that case, you know what the Father thinks and what the Father wants, okay? And so, you know, he said, and that I'm going to do that, what I see the Father doing, what I see the Father directing me. Okay, in the same chapter, okay, he wasn't operating according to his independence. He wasn't operating according to taking charge. I'm strong in myself, and I'm going to win the battle. He didn't say that. The opposite. I can do nothing on myself. You know, today, psychologists will tell you, oh, you have to have self-confidence, otherwise you get nowhere. Well, Jesus didn't have self-confidence, have Father's confidence. Okay? This is different. You know, you go even from Christian counselors, they say, you know, you just build up your self-confidence. No, build up God's confidence. Build up relationship with God that is guiding you instead of trying to guide yourself. And be confident in yourself. You know, he repeated in the same chapter, in verse 30, you know, I myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous. Because why? Because I not seek my own will, but the will of my Father who sent me. See, that's Jesus' attitude. So you want to, you know, have a relationship with the Father, start assuming or receiving that kind of an attitude. Don't try to do it and I'm going to, you know, overcome, even spiritually. You know, that's the way Jesus did it. And that sounds contrary to everything that most of the people teach, but that's the truth. That's how Jesus overcame. I'm going to say much more about that. But they were really, you know, complete. God wants us to be dependent on him. Not independent. Knowing that he is in control and we trust him. That we don't need to be strong because he's strong and he's in our side. And he's stronger than anybody else. So, you know, if he's in our side, it's like, you know, oh, my dad is a big guy. You know, I feel confident. You know, but that's the way it is with us. He's the biggest guy, he's the biggest father of anybody else. Amen. And he's in our side. So, I mean, it doesn't matter how small we are. We got the bigger father. Are you following me? Sometimes we have to make this comparison that's a bit silly and crazy, but the point is, that's the truth. Okay? Our logic is limited. Our understanding is limited. The Word is truth. And if we believe the Word, we see what the Word says and give us the direction, the understanding of how we should act, how we should walk, how we should get the right result. And it's not by our ideas or not by man's ideas. It's by his ideas because he knows everything. Praise the Lord. I mean, that should get us excited. I don't know. It does it with me, and I hope it does it with you, because if it doesn't get it with you, then you have to be shaken up a bit. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. Okay, so it says here, I seek not my own will. That's important. I seek not my own will, okay, but the will of the Father who sent me. I mean, if we are connected with him, the Father is sending us, is sending us in the right path. And we have to really have the same attitude that Jesus had. And that, you know, that is big change the way we generally think. But, you know, even sometimes when we, you know, try to be religious, we are not doing that. You know, we got the idea, you know, we got the how to do, I'm going to do this and the other thing. And we waste lots of time getting nowhere. because we are not really doing God's will. We are going to, doing our will to try to be spiritual. It's not a question of being spiritual. It's a question of being connected with Him, allowing Him to work in your life and guide you in the path of righteousness. That's what He wants to do. Hallelujah. Okay, but that, you know, that involves one thing. It's not easy to do, because we trust ourselves and we get burned many times, so we don't trust anybody else. So to start to trust God takes a big effort for us. And the only way we're going to see, the only way to trust somebody is when the person you try them out, and they have proven themselves. God wants to prove Himself that He actually is trustworthy. The Bible tells all over the place says about that. Okay, but one thing is reading it, and another thing is actually believing it, and at the level of be able to commit ourselves. Praise the Lord. Because only then you can be obedient. So, what I'm saying to you, you know, some time ago I remember when the Lord started ministering to me in this area and says, you know, we should look at Jesus to really see how to walk, not to go according to religious ideas. We should learn from Him because He knew what He was doing better than anybody else. Okay. So what that actually means, though, looking at Jesus, okay, what they really mean, you know, is learning from His example and His inspiration, you know, to see His behavior, to see the way He acted and operated in actual situation, okay? And, you know, probably the most important situation were the difficult situation in which He found Himself. We can look all over the place, you know, we can look through the gospel and see the way He operated in many ways. But, you know, the critical time when you had to look at Jesus is what He did at Gethsemane and on the cross. That's really the place in which we can learn something. Because that was the most critical moment. And what He did was really different than what everybody else does. Wasn't try to control the situation, was it? Now, let's see here. You know, so, says, how that's going to help us? Well, that's going to help us enormously. If you go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says something. Okay. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Okay. So, if I want to really look unto Jesus, you know, that's where my faith is going to grow. It's not by God, give me more faith. God, spend hour. Just keep reading scriptures. Just keep doing your own idea. Just trying to push and try to get the power of God in your soul. That's not the way you're going to get faith. That's not the way Jesus did it. He said, I can do nothing. That's the opposite. I only do what I see my Father doing. I don't even take initiative. Are you following what I'm saying? You know, unless we take that attitude to start with, okay, we are not going to look at Him. We are looking at our own ideas, number one. Number two, you know, the fact that looking unto Him, the author and finisher of our faith, then it goes on. Ooh, for the joy that is set before Him. He wasn't trying to get something now. He said, you know, this is God's promise. This is what God prepares for me. I believe that. I mean, that was a long stretch. You know, it was something that never happened before. And He knew that. Okay. So for the joy that set before Him, He endured the cross. I mean, He decided to die, trusting that what God said was true. Endured. Maybe we can see some of the word there. Despising the shame and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So you see there is a progression here. Okay, first, okay, He didn't look at the circumstances He was going. This is in Gethsemane. He was there And he knew what was going to happen. He knew the prophecies. He knew the position. He knew exactly what, you know, it didn't look too good that was going to happen there. If you look at circumstances, boy, he can't get any worse. Okay? But he didn't look at that. He looked at what was going on after. See, that's the way God is. Look at the end from the beginning. Before you get there, you know the end, and you shoot for that, and you care about that, not what you go through. Because if you care what you go through, then you're going to react to the situation you are in, and you're going to get nowhere. Okay? So, endure the cross. Okay? So, step back. Author and finisher of our faith. So, you see, this is how, looking at him, our faith is going to go up. He's going to just make our faith, build our faith, and he's going to perfect our faith. Finisher, you know, the implication there, the other translation is perfected. So he's really saying how we are going to grow in faith, how we're going to, is by looking at him and the way he operated, especially at this time. But that's the way he did it all the time. But here it becomes more evident. Okay, here says, okay, so Jesus did it for you and overcame for you. He didn't even need to do it for himself. So, I mean, this was completely selfless. Okay? He did it for us. And he got complete victory. Okay? Praise the Lord. See? His work, okay, his focus, okay, his focus that he had, looking at the joy set before him, what he knew was going to be the result of what he was doing. He endured the cross. That means he didn't complain. He didn't rebel. He accepted the circumstances they were going to go through, knowing what they were going to go. They weren't much fun, but he accepted them because, you know, he trusted what the Father said. He actually not just trusted, you know, but he were ready to go through the hard time because he knew that was what the Father wanted. And so, you know, that requires patience. Patience is something that we often don't like too much. Okay, oh, I don't have patience. Well, you better start having some. Because if you don't have patience, you cannot grow in faith. See, that's what happens when you, what makes your faith grow. When you encounter the circumstances that are contrary to the things that you want, and you go endure them doesn't mean that you're going to have a great time. But you are willing to go through them with his help because you know that you're going to get the joy behind. And the joy is going to be there because you trust him and he's faithful and you can count on what he said. Praise the Lord. Okay? So, patience is the fruit of the Spirit. And that is, you know, when we endure, you know, what happens? Well, praise the Lord. When let patience, James chapter 1, verse 4 says, and let the patience have his perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. Hallelujah. If you want to lack nothing, that's what we had to do. Okay? That's what makes all the difference. That's what, you know, makes us, you know, the point, let's go back here again to looking unto Jesus. Endure the cross, despising the shame, and I sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. It doesn't say there, you know, you do this first step, God does the last step. He got up. God's presence wasn't his effort, wasn't his work, was the Father's power that brought him up from the tomb and brought it up where he is now today, and it's a name above every name. Amen? So, you know, after what he went through, the actual getting the victory wasn't a big job, was no job whatsoever. It happened by itself. God did it. And God is the only one that can do the things that God promises. And that's why he promised so that we may know that we can get those results. Praise the Lord. That's where our faith starts to be in the place which is trusting him. So that he get out of the way and let God come in and do the work that needs to be done. Otherwise, we are in the way and he doesn't can get through. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, this is really the fact that, let me say something adding here, some people say, they pray, the may his will be done. It's a way to destroy faith. And this is complete nonsense. It's the opposite. If you trust God and say, God, that's what Jesus prayed. That's why he was resurrected from. The great faith that anybody ever had, prayed by the prayer that the word of faith people says, oh, this is the way to destroy your faith. No, you are completely wrong. Jesus overcame the greatest victory ever existed in the world praying that prayer. And you tell us not to? Oh, you're a fool. Are you seeing what I'm saying? I see the contradiction with the word. Why? Because faith is trusting God. And so you put yourself in his hands. And when you are in his hand, you are in the best place in the world. He is there to keep you up, to lift you up. Give his angels charge over you so they keep you in your hands so that you don't dash your foot against a stone. Are you following me? See, sometimes we get the idea that they're completely wrong, okay? Have faith in God, enough faith in your ability, in your understanding, in your things. Just trust God and follow and let him guide you, okay? And this is where patience come in, okay? And you seek diligently his help and trust him that he's going to come true. Hallelujah. See, that implies something. We have to be careful about our attitude. If our attitude is in the wrong place, okay, we are going to be close. It's not that we're doing anything, but we have to be open to his direction and letting him do the work. But if we have the wrong attitude, we are going to oppose what he said. We are not going to listen to anything. We are going to do our own way because that's the way we want to follow. Well, the following verse says very clearly, Hebrews 12:3, consider him who endures such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. If you get weary and discouraged, you are too tired to do anything. You are discouraged. You are negative, and you are going to get nowhere because you are not trusting anybody, not even God. So here he's telling specifically, focus on him, focus on the way he overcame, focus how he, the things that he did, because that is going to make the difference. What the difference? That instead of being your power, it's the Father's power working in you. We cannot make miracles. God makes miracles. And when he's working in us, he can perform miracles through us. But it's not us. It's him. It's not our power. It's his power. We have no power. All the power is delegated from God, and he's the one that is going to give it to us. When we are lined up, where we are connected, where we are listening, when we put ourselves in the place in which he guides us to be. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So you said, you know, for your verse 4, you have not resisted to bloodshed against, striving against sin. You know, he was fighting the whole sins of the whole world. That's a big deal. And he overcame with, "Thy will be done, Lord, not mine." Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. And then, you know, then we can start really trusting God that he's going to do exactly what he said he would do. Again, the fact that he said, you know, if you are tempted, if you're going through hardship and problem, you know, be confident that he, you know, no temptation has overcome you except everything that is common to all men, to everybody else. But God is faithful. And that's the thing that has to be in our mind. God is faithful to his promises. And he will not allow you to be tempted or to go through things that something that you cannot be able to do. Okay, but with the temptation or the situation that you are in, you will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So that's what the promise is. And God doesn't make empty promises. This is exactly the way we have to function and operate to actually exercise faith. Praise the Lord. You know, you have to understand one thing, okay? God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted more than you can handle, okay? And he will provide a way out. Essentially, what he's saying is, God has set you up. And he has set you up for victory. But you have to believe that God set you up for victory. Because if you believe that, if you look at the circumstances, if you look, Jesus was looking at the circumstances, they was not very look, they didn't look very good, did they? See, but that's the way we overcome. That's where faith is really functioning. That's what we really operate in, not in our own power, but in his power. But if you are working in the flesh, we are terrified at the circumstances. They are going to affect us. We are going to work like crazy. You know, Jesus did not even complain, make any noise. He went like a sheep to the slaughter without making any fuss. That was supernatural power. That's the power is available to those that follow God's direction instead of their own ideas. You know, Jesus was special, okay? I understand that. Well, I take another example. For example, Stephen, when he was stoned. I mean, he wasn't there complaining or being sorry. He was shining to the place that everybody saw him. He saw even Jesus, but that's another story. That was just the advance of what he was going to get. He did not suffer. He was there preaching and making a difference and getting Paul converted. Now, I could just preach a whole sermon on that, but maybe another time. But you understand this. He had complete victory while he was stoned. You can be, if we function like Jesus functioned, that's what the way he was doing, you're going to be able to say and experience the same thing. You're going to have such a supernatural victory that if you tell it, they wouldn't believe you. Praise the Lord. See, when we go through these things, we have to have the right perspective. When you go through hard time, first of all, don't judge somebody else because you don't know what they're going through. So that's the last thing you should do because that is putting you in trouble. Okay? Never do that. But then, you know, let me expand here something here. Okay? In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 says, but you have forgotten the exhortation that speaks to you as son. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. So he's telling you, don't forget what is waiting for you, the promise that I'm giving to you, the things that God shows you what you're going to do. Okay. Don't despise it. Don't understand that, are going through training. And if you know that you're going through training, you know that God is preparing you for something better. And if God is going to be you better, you are going to be, understanding, expecting. Even if you are admonished, corrected, or even punished, that is for your good. Because that is going to give you a breakthrough. And you may not understand why. But you don't need to understand why. You need to respond to God in the right way. That's all. Trust him. And not trust the circumstances. Trust him because he's faithful. Trust it because you have all the backup of the scripture showing you and showing you that that's the way we have to operate. When you operate like that, you get the victory. There is no way. There's no other things. And after you got the victory, you say, my goodness, actually it wasn't that difficult. After you say that, not when you're going through. Okay? When you overcome, then you realize, oh, wait a minute. It's done? It's finished? That's weird. I guess sure it's weird because it's not natural. It's supernatural. That doesn't mean we go looking for trouble. That's not the idea. We, understand that when trouble comes, you have somebody that paid the price for you, and you can trust him, and he's going to guide you through and bring you to victory if you trust in him. And you don't try to do it in your own strength, because you can win spiritual battles that way. Okay? Praise the Lord. Saint Paul goes on here, say, for whom he loves, he chastens, and scourges all the even every son that he receives. So the idea is, he is going to do everything possible to give you victory. Everything possible, even if you don't think that look like too much of a victory, but because you haven't got there to the end. Okay? Praise the Lord. Then goes on, comparing, the training with the one that we get as parents and children. Okay, it says, I'm not going to read that because time is running short. So, I get to the point here. It says, if, when you look after your children and your children doesn't listen to you and they put, are not going to learn very much. But if they listen to you, they're going to grow. But, after all, no matter how much you care for your children, you don't care as much as the Father in heaven cares about you. Sometimes you make the wrong decision, you try to make the wrong correction because you don't know everything. And because you don't know everything, sometimes you may be wrong. And instead of helping them, you do more damage than good. God doesn't make mistakes. Because he knows everything, and so he knows exactly what he has to do to help you. And what he wants is for you to have victory, for you to get closer to him, to you experience, the change that he promises. Praise the Lord. Okay? So I'm not going to go more into this. Okay? But we have to understand there is more, though. There is much more. And there is the prize that is there that we have to understand that the Father wants us to have. Okay. Next week. the prize is everything because, this is what he cares. And when we understand the prize, the joy set before us. And if it's a joy that's set before us, we have to grasp that joy, at least understand it, because not looking at now what's happening, or tomorrow what's happening. You know, God has a much better plan. It's eternal. Okay? And we often don't think in those terms, but God does. Okay? So, anyway, let's close in prayer for now. I hope you got something today. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you. For your goodness, the love that you have toward us. You know all things. You are all powerful. You are in control of everything. And we trust you. And we believe that as we trust you, we can hear your voice. And as we follow your voice, you guide us into victory, into freedom, into peace, into your presence. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray today. Amen? Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord.